Bill Buckley with you, and at this time on a Saturday, we always have a chat with the Gadget Detective, Fevzi Türkalp. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at Gadget Detective for all the latest tech news and the best kit. Hi, Fevzi.
Afternoon.
Good to have you with us. We'll start, as usual, with your story of the week, which is a follow-up, really, to last week's story of the week, Facebook's metaverse plans, labelled this week as dystopian and a bad idea, which wouldn't be that amazing that somebody has said that. It's really more a question of who has said it that makes it interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, so it's a guy called Roger McNamee, who was one of the earliest investors in Facebook, and he obviously understands Facebook quite well. He's been following it for some time. He said that he first became a critic of Facebook when he began to see more misinformation on the platform, and he essentially said that he didn't think that Mark Zuckerberg would necessarily be a pair of safe hands for the metaverse. So just to recap, the metaverse is thought to be the next stage of the internet. So the internet now could be described as something we look at on screens. The metaverse is going from two dimensions to three dimensions. So instead of looking in at it on a screen, we are immersed in it in three dimensions, as we are in the real world. As we walk around the world, we look around, we see things, we touch things. That will be the metaverse. It will be something developed over the coming years. Obviously, it will be fairly primitive to start with, as will the internet itself. And it will become more and more convincing until we get to the point where you won't be able to distinguish it from what we will then have in quotes reality, because it's a bit like, with the term artificial intelligence. It will just be called intelligence in the end. It won't matter that it's artificial, and reality will be reality, virtual or not. It will be deemed to be as real in the virtual world as well. We just choose which reality we want to live in. So there are all sorts of questions about this, about whether it's a good idea and how the human brain will adapt to this, because the brain evolved over millions of years, and yet these changes are taking place over weeks, months and a few years. But also, see, as we go about our daily lives, we have certain rights. Some would say our rights are not always respected and they're not always as broad as they should be, but we have rights, we have human rights. But in a metaverse, which is a proprietary world, an environment which is owned by, in this case, Facebook, possibly by others as well, they get to set the rules, just like a website gets to set the terms of service, and you will either say yes or no. You'll either accept all of them or won't use the service. Mm. And in the same way, what we need is a sort of a transference of our basic rights, and hopefully a little bit more than our basic rights, into these metaverses, so that companies can't just set the rules, and our privacy is respected, our right to free speech is respected, our right to meet with others without being monitored is and talk with them is respected. Mm. And at the moment, that's not looking like how it's going to be, because the whole purpose of Facebook investing billions of dollars into this technology, they're not doing it out of a sense of altruism, because they recognize that the information they can scrape from our activities, they can glean from us as we go about our meetings in the metaverse and our entertainment in the metaverse and our entertainment, all these different things, is immeasurably more than they can get now. So he's basically saying it's a bad idea. I'll quote him. He says, this is Roger McNamee. He said, it's a bad idea, and the fact that we're all sitting and looking at this like it's normal should be alarming everyone. Facebook should not be allowed to create a dystopian metaverse. Now, obviously, Facebook has a different view of that. Facebook says it's been working on privacy and safety for years and investing a lot of money into it. And, that's probably true.
There are two sides to the story, because you can imagine all kinds of ways in which this will be a wonderful thing. Like, how much better than a Zoom call will it be if you're, in inverted commas, sitting in the room around the table with the other people at the meeting?
Absolutely. Yeah. But, civil aviation is a wonderful thing, but we don't leave it to the companies to set their own safety standards.
Very true. So the world's got to start legislating then. Is there a parallel here, I wonder, with what we're seeing in Glasgow at the moment, that there will come a point when perhaps the 11th and a half hour, when all the heads of everything suddenly think, oh my goodness, now it may be too late, but we've really got to do something. Is there a parallel there, do you think? Could there be? Don't sound very hopeful.
I think the parallel is that we'll probably miss the boat on both occasions. You know,
oh so, dear, oh Fevzy.
Sorry, I don't wish to be dark about it.
We're all going to die.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think the problem with that is that governments are short term and some of the problems are long term.
Yeah.
And you know, governments often make
so we do miss the boat on it then. How is my life going to be terrible in 20 years' time if I'm still around because we've missed the boat on it?
So it would be worse than trying to not be a user of the internet now. It would be like being a non-person. Yeah, you can't get anything done. You can't go to work. You can't mix with friends. You can't have entertainment. You can't travel. You know, all the things. I mean, this sounds strange.
Because everybody else is doing it that way, you mean? So they're not available like they are now.
I'll give you an example. I won't use WhatsApp on general principle because I don't like their privacy policy. I mean, it's, you know, it shouldn't be called a privacy policy, really, but I don't like the rules relating to privacy. But there's rarely a day that goes by where I don't have to explain to someone that the people, because it is so ubiquitous, because the monopoly is so strong, that I have to explain to people that assume I have WhatsApp that I don't have it, and then possibly why I don't have it. And I'm forced to do that once, twice a day, usually. I think it's going to be worse than that. People will say, oh, let's go and see this concert. Oh, yeah, but I don't use the metaverse because I don't like their privacy. I'll go away then, you know. And these people will become, it will be impossible to live. And then with that, faced with then, okay, you can use it, but you have to accept all these terms and you don't have the right to opt out of anything. I think it's a pretty dark future because we've had centuries of building societies with freedoms, you know. We fought, people have died for freedoms, you know, our freedoms. And yet, by doing a switch from real to virtual, we start again from zero. The default position is that the company owns everything and they set the rules.
Mind-boggling stuff. We could talk on and on about that, but we mustn't. Fevzy Türkalp is still with us to tell us about the gadget of the week this time. What have you got, Fevzy?
It's an unusual one. It's called Tech Break. Tech-break. Mm-hmm. And it's a vaguely cubical box with a door and a lock under timer control. Why would you want this? The idea behind it is that use of gadgets in our domestic life is ruining family life, that people sit around, even if they sit around a meal table, that they're not paying attention to one another, people can be in
Heads
the same
down,
room physically, but virtually somewhere else.
Yes.
And if you've got children or teenagers or spouses that overuse their devices. So the idea behind this is that by agreement of some sort, the family puts its devices, its mobile phones, its tablets, its handheld consoles, its gaming controllers, pretty much those sorts of things, into the box. So the box is a cube, a little over a foot square. It's not huge. And it has a door that opens. It's two shelves inside plus the bottom, so you can put three or more devices into it. So you pop your phones in there, you shut the door, and then you use the timer to say how long the door remains locked for.
It's a safe, basically, then.
It's a timer-controlled safe.
Yeah.
It's got slots in the back, so you can actually, you know, put the charging cables through the back and charge the devices whilst they're in there. So sort of you can be doing something useful whilst they're locked away. So the timer's in sort of three parts. There's the hour mode, where you can set it from 1 hour to 24 hours. There's bedtime mode for 10 hours to 24 hours. I don't know anyone who stays in bed for 10 hours, but fine, okay. And then 24-hour mode, where you can set for 1 to 14 days. And some people have been experimenting with doing a sort of digital detox where they basically do without the device for a whole day. So it's quite interesting. There's an escape keypad at the back, so something desperate happens and you really can't bear it anymore. You can, but you have to enter a code to do it. And there's air vents. There's a nice little colour screen on the top, so you can see, you get a little countdown timer, which seems like a form of torture if you're sitting staring. You know what they say about, you know, a watch pot and boil, or
indeed,
whatever the expression
indeed,
is.
Indeed, yes.
It's going to be a bit like that. Look, this is an interesting idea, and it's more, I think the psychology and the rules around it are more potentially interesting than the technology and
absolutely
the device itself.
Yes, I'd agree.
I think the key to this is, if it's to work, all family members have to do it. It's not something that you do to your children.
Mm.
It's something that the adults participate in equally.
Mm.
And they can't say, oh, but I use my phone for work, so I have to have it. You can't do that.
No.
That's not going to wash. But if you're willing to do it as well, I would like to see a little bit more control over the timer, because the minimum time is 1 hour. And 1 hour doesn't sound like much, but for some people, 1 hour is a lot. And maybe even, you know, 15 minutes to start with, half an hour, you know, maybe work your way up to teasing yourself off your addiction to your device. I would like to see that.
You reckon there are plenty of people out there who never go or can't go more than 15 minutes without, really?
Yes.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to worry anymore about myself.
Aren't
then.
You what? Because there's someone worse than you. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Fine. The way that these devices are designed, you know, the operating systems and the apps on them, to give you little notifications and pings and pongs and all these sounds and reinforcement of someone liking you or you know, giving you a thumbs up or whatever it is, these are designed to provide your body with little boosts of dopamine, which is quite addictive, naturally occurring chemical in the body. And we are literally addicted. And I expect a number of these boxes to be broken, you know, because people won't always...
Good gracious me.
...won't be able to stand it.
Imagine the family meeting to decide for how long the periods will be and when they'll be. And then imagine the conversation when someone claims they've got an emergency, whether the other family members agree this does constitute an emergency or not. Goodness
me. Because it starts ringing in the box, and then you're peeking through the ventilation holes to see if you can work out who's ringing you. You know, look, I think there is some merit in this idea, to be honest with you. But as I say, I think it all hinges upon the adults and everyone participating equally. And I think once that is the case, it's kind of a bit easier to decide the time, because no one's going to want to go too far with it, because they're going to be restricted by it equally. And I think that, you know, that's the point of it. It's not like a parent taking away the devices of their children for an hour.
No.
It's like everyone deciding together that they're going to do without the device.
Although, as you say, parents could decide to do that if they so wished, even though you wouldn't advise them to. Couldn't they?
Well, I just don't
think... They could say only your devices have to go in the thing, not mine.
Yeah, I think that it will be jemmied open in no time if you try to do that. Just doesn't seem fair. I think the other thing is, if you do it for a while, let's say you just do it at mealtime, and that's why I'd even say half an hour. You know, if you're still in a household where you have meals around a table, and I know a lot of households, you know, don't do that, and that's fine. But if you do that, then maybe people may start to eventually appreciate some of the upsides of doing that.
Their
family relationships and other things may actually improve a little bit.
I think it's not just
for children, you know. You can get like two adults living together without, you know, youngsters, as it were, and they may benefit from it as well. I see that when I used to go to restaurants. I remember even when I used to date, you go on a date and then you think when your date goes off to the loo, you like get your phone out. And,
always,
you
know, have a look at your phone.
Check your message. Well, I think it's at least better than checking her phone. But
you've given this 3.5 out of 5. You're quite a mean marker, but that's a little bit on the low side. What were your reasons for that?
It's £99.99. I would like to have seen it less than that.
Okay.
I appreciate this is actually by a small startup in I think the Bolton area. It's not a huge business, and I think the chap who did this had the idea some time ago, and then when lockdown came and when people were all in the house together, but not together, as it were, because they were on their devices. Yeah. I think he sort of brought the product to market at that point. So I forgive it, because I understand, because, you know, before you get, you know, mass production, you don't have the economies of scale. But it would be nice in time, if the product is very successful,
we'll all
to see the price come down.
As routine as our phones and our tablets.
But I'd say check it out. It's tech-break.com, and 3.5 stars out of 5. Price £99.99.
You are quite wonderful. Love talking to you, Fevzi, and we'll do it again in 7 days' time. He is the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp.